you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to the book of John, chapter 10. Book of John, chapter 10. We are thankful to see this good crowd this morning. And I'll tell you, I've been just chomping at the bit to get back in the pulpit. Just been enjoying what God is doing here. It's just such a good spirit, such a good, just not, I don't use the word feeling now, because we get all up in our feelings and be wrong, but it is a wonderful, sweet thing to be in the presence of God with His people. And so to be able to come together and know that God is here with us and know that the church seems to be in unity and there's no division and no striving among each other, it's just a good place to be. And I'm so thankful for that. It's not that way everywhere. And it's not because of one individual. Nobody can say it's because of me that things are so good. It's all because of God, and He gets all the glory, all the praise for it. And we are looking forward to a baptizing maybe by next Sunday, and hopefully we have more to go along with that, because I know the burden that God has placed on my heart. God has sent a word, words to you, His word, and I want to try to get it across in a manner that you would understand. But more than that, that the Holy Spirit would convict your heart, and you understand you need to be saved, and go ahead and just trust Him today. What a blessing that would be if that would be the case. But I want to go ahead and just mention, I don't want to sneak up on you, or you think that I am. I want to preach to the lost this morning. That's my burden. So if you're here and you're saved, you pray for me that I could get it across in a very simple manner, that someone could hear, and then that they could trust Jesus as their Savior. But when I say I want to preach to the lost, I'm going to mention some things about that. If you're here and you're lost, whether it be day one, whether the Lord just opened your eyes and you understand you're lost, or whether you've been lost for some time, I want everyone to hear and be saved. But I have a specific burden, and that is that if you're here and you're already religious, you're already, maybe you've already been baptized, and yet you know in your heart that something's not right. There's a lot of people that are in that shape, probably more than we would ever understand, that at some point maybe they joined the church, they got baptized, or maybe they just started to go to church regular. Maybe they started doing a few good deeds. Maybe they, you know, try to give to some charity somewhere. Maybe they prayed a prayer with some man at some point, and he told them that they were saved and got them to join a church. Whatever the case may be, you know your heart. And there sometimes will be some that are lost, but they are under the disguise. Everybody else, when they see them, thinks, well, they're saved. I've been around a lot of people in my life that you just assume that they're saved, that maybe they're real good people, just sweetheart, or good man, or very good in society, and they have a way of speaking. You just say they're so kind or so gentle. They have to be saved, and then find out they're lost. And then there's those that have been baptized, and say, well, they've already joined a church, and then you find out later they're lost. It happens, and don't be ashamed of that if it's happened to you. So I said, well, what's somebody going to think if I walk back down the aisle and say I'm lost? I'll tell you what I'll think. Praise the Lord. You need to get that fixed. Don't leave this life pretending like you're saved or just hoping everything's going to work out. But that's my burden this morning, especially if you're trying to make some other door to heaven. Whenever you hear lost, you say, well, I got baptized. That's not the door to salvation. You say, well, I'm a good person. I've always gone to church. That's not a door of salvation. You say, well, I've always been in church since the day I was born. I've always believed Jesus. You can believe all the facts about Jesus and still be lost if you haven't surrendered, if you haven't repented and trusted Jesus as your Savior. You still can be lost. I've always believed Jesus. There's never been a day on this earth I didn't believe Jesus. I believe all the facts about Him. I believe when I was a kid, I believed He is the Savior of the world. I never doubted that. But I didn't come to a place just, well, somewhere along the way I got saved. I must be saved because I've just always believed. But rather, God opened my eyes and I saw myself a sinner. And at that point, I turned to Him and I trusted Him. And when I trusted Him as my Savior, He saved me. That's how salvation works. Without that, don't hang on to something that is not going to help you. Don't be confused. Somebody say, I'm so confused. Brother Brad, I'm confused. I think I may be saved. Well, this morning you need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. That's not something you play around with. You don't just hope so, maybe so. Maybe the Lord will let me in. There's nobody going to maybe get into heaven. You either go into heaven or you go into hell. There's no in between. And so you need to know. John chapter 10, verse 7. I want to get a few verses here and kind of establish a thought, and then I want to turn and add to it this morning. John chapter 10, verse 7. John 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I want to focus on that thought. Jesus said, I am the door. If you come through the door, you will be saved. He didn't say, I am a door. He said, I am the door. And if you come in through the door, you will be saved. You'll find that sweet pasture. And he goes back, he mentions a man, then he goes back to thinking about sheep once again. How that, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm a child of God. I know He's my shepherd. Just like old sheep and a shepherd, He is my shepherd, and He's going to take care of me. He's going to make sure I get the cool waters. He's going to make sure I get the green pastures. When I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear because He's going to be with me. And so that's my God. But first, you must go through the door in order to be saved. And so I want to focus on that thought. Many people are trying to get saved. And there's so much in our world today to confuse. And you have the world to deal with and humanity. And everybody thinks they have this thing right. And I was talking to a young lady just this past week. And she said, I had a burden for some of my family. And so I went to speak to them about their soul. And I said, I want to talk to you about being saved. And they stopped her dead in her tracks. I don't want to talk to you about that. She said, why not? She said, because you think you know the only way to salvation. She said, there is only one way of salvation. She said, I don't believe that. I believe everybody's getting in their own way. That sounds crazy to someone been sitting in church all their life, but I'm going to tell you, that is blowing around like tumbleweeds in our world today. There's a lot of people grasping onto that we just all do it the best we can. It sounds so pitiful, and it sounds so sincere, and it sounds like, well, it ought to be that way. You know, as long as I'm trying to be good, God ought to let me by. But we're not going by man's rules. We're not going by man's assumptions. We're not going by man's feelings. We're going by the Word of God. And Jesus said, I am the door. There's not multiple doors. Well, what about all these other religions out there? They think that they're going to go to heaven. They think that they're going to get by. It really don't matter what somebody thinks. It matters what's the truth. And so, if you don't believe this, then we just disagree. I believe this is the truth. Absolutely. Without a doubt. There is no questioning. You say, well, I don't believe that's the truth. I don't have anything else to stand on. I can't be a help to you. This is all I have. My word's no good. Your opinion's no good. My opinion's no good. Man's opinion's no good. Here's what God said. Let God be truth and every man a liar. It's what God said. So if we're not going by this, then we don't have the truth. Nobody does. So let's move on. To be saved, you've got to go through the door. There's no side door. There's no back door. There's no window that you can crawl through. You must come through the door. You say, "Brother Brad, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried to get saved." You know, let me give you a simple illustration. It's pretty easy to open a Coke bottle. I mean, it's simple. It don't take a lot of figuring out. You just take it and you twist it. You say, "Well, Brother Brad, sometimes I struggle with that. Especially get older, struggle with something like that, or if you're real young and don't have a lot of strength, maybe. But hey, once you got it, you got it. It's open. It's fairly easy to do unless you are turning it the wrong way. Now, if you're turning that thing tight, you can turn with all your might, you can do everything within your power. You're not going to get it open because you're doing it wrong. You say, "I've tried and tried and tried to get saved." You must be doing something wrong. So what is it that you need to do? Well, we need to look to the Word of God. You must turn to Jesus. And you must trust Him as your Savior if you want to get a ticket to heaven. If you want to be forgiven of your sin. "Brother Brad, I can't even remember all my sin." The Bible does not say you got to remember all your sin. What you have to do is realize you are a sinner and turn to Christ. You can't turn within yourself. Well, look within yourself to find yourself. Look at the goodness within and try to let that come out. That's all nonsense. That's of the devil. We had a good Sunday school lesson this morning, Brother Bud, about the depravity of man. Mankind cannot fix his problems. Mankind cannot do better. We just do worse. That's why Jesus died. The second Adam. He come along and he fixed what mankind messed up. And so that's how come we turn and we put our faith in him. He's the only one that can help our condemned, depraved situation. He's the only one. So, if you turn to Christ and trust, He has paid your sin debt. That's why He died on the cross. First of all, came into this world a virgin. He was not the seed of a man. He was the seed of the woman because the sin passed through the seed of a man. He come in and He was tempted in all points like we are, but He was without sin. He was perfect in every way. He fulfilled the law that God requires for perfection. He fulfilled the law, every jot and tittle. And then He hung on the cross as a sacrifice. And His blood was shed. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When He died, that was payment. God the Father looked down upon His Son and He judged our sins upon Him and He said, "I'm satisfied with that." And so when a lost sinner looks up and says, "I'm lost, but I tell you what, I'm going to trust Jesus. God's satisfied with it. I'm going to trust Him and I'm going to be satisfied with that as payment for my sin." Jesus saved your soul. You don't have to worry about being lost anymore. But you've got to drop all your expectations. You've got to drop all your preconceived notions. And you've got to go through the door. So look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. It took me a little while just to establish the foundation. Now let's go get the message. Verse 47. Luke 22, verse 47. "And while he yet spake, behold a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" Let's talk about Judas just a minute. The very name Judas almost makes you want to... I don't know, it just...
He's not the kind of guy you won't think about much. A betrayer. A traitor. A friend that'll stab you in the back. One that the only thing he thinks about is himself. He thinks about money. But I want us to think about him this morning. The reason I do is because Judas was a very religious man. There's a lot we can learn about Judas just by little hints that's dropped for us along the way as we read. Number one, I believe with all my heart, Judas would pass the eye test. I believe if you saw him, you'd say, that man right there is a Christian. I believe we'd have thought that. There's a lot of reasons why. The other apostles never questioned. They never questioned. Even in the garden, when he stepped into the garden to betray him, they still did not realize what was going on. They never questioned him. When the Lord said, one of you going to betray me? They didn't say, well, we all know who it is. It's got to be Judas. That old rascal's never been much of a Christian anyway. They didn't say that. They said, is it I? I believe if he'd have been someone that, you know, here today, gone tomorrow, and that you never really can depend on him, they said, well, it's bound to be Judas. They didn't say that. Let me give you hint number two. He carried the money bag. I believe he was the treasurer of the church. That's what he was doing. The Christ church is already established, and he's the one that carried the money bag. He's the one seeing to the poor folk. And so, you have to trust somebody a great deal to let him be in charge of the money. I mean, the love of money is the root of all evil. So you've got to really trust somebody to allow them to carry the money purse. And so he did that without question. They never questioned that about him. And so he would have passed the eye test. Even his last meeting with the Lord, you don't find him walk up and slap Jesus. You don't find him, you know, curse at him. Or, you know, go in and point fingers at it. He walks in and he wants everybody to still think he's a good Christ-like man. He walks up and he kisses Jesus with what Scripture would refer to as a holy kiss, a brotherly kiss. We say, well, I don't kiss no man. Different day, different culture, different customs. It was not some unrighteous thing. He was not being perverted when he done that. But rather, he was trying to maintain his hypocrisy. He was trying to maintain his cover. I don't want anybody to know that I'm betraying the Lord. But whenever y'all see me do it, you'll know that's him. And so he walks up and he kisses the Lord. Now, I believe this, Brother Calvin, if Judas was a member of Mars Hill, I believe that you would hear very regular, Brother Judas, lead us in prayer. I don't believe I would have had any problem or anybody here, you know, Brother Justin or whoever might call, we'd call upon him leading prayer. We'd get him up here to lead a song. We wouldn't turn our nose out, well, that rascal right there, he's no good. We would have believed he was a good man. He would have given the monthly treasure report. We come together for conference, and Brother Jared, in no way am I pointing fingers at you. I know you hold a position. That's because we trust you with it. But, you know, he'd been like Brother Jared, get up here and read the treasure report. This is what we spent here. This is what we spent there. This is how much the pastor received. He would have done all that. Just like the church here, that we would have trusted this man. Now, I said all that to get to this thought. Judas kissed the door of heaven, and he went to hell. Think about that. Jesus is the door to heaven. He is the door of salvation. And Judas kissed the door of heaven. And he lifted his eyes in hell. How close can a person come to get saved and still end up in hell? That's pretty close. That's pretty profound to stop and think about that. Only Jesus knew He had a devil from the beginning. Even at this moment, whenever He tried to maintain His hypocrisy, Jesus just looked at Him. He didn't call His name out, you know, in a thunderous voice. He didn't back off or ready to fight Him. He said, "Judas, betrayest thou me with a kiss?" That's all. Only Jesus knew He had a devil from the beginning. Only Jesus knew He was being a hypocrite. Only Jesus knew His heart. So if you're here this morning and you're unsaved, listen to me. In no way am I trying to point you out as being some terrible person. Judas was a betrayer. And yet, if you're here and you're lost, you may have your name on the roll here at Morris Hill. And everybody looks and says, "Well, you know, I remember whenever we took him and baptized him, or her whenever we baptized her. I remember that." None of that matters if you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior. You may do a lot of good. You may give to the poor. You may always put your offering in the offering box up here. And you say, "Well, I tell you what, I'm able to give a substantial amount of money every week. For me, we might not keep the lights on here at the church." All that's beside the point. We can worship God without lights. We are the light of the world. We can worship God without a building. We can worship God out under the oak tree somewhere. We can do that. Still going to heaven. I've trusted Him as my Savior. But if you've never trusted Him, don't miss your chance just because somewhere along the way you had something that might put you in the category where you're saved. You see, you may lead in prayer. You may play an instrument. You may be respected by all your peers, all the church members here. You may be a good old boy, a good old girl. There's going to be a lot of good old boys and good old girls in hell that didn't trust Jesus. You can kiss the door of heaven and still lift your eyes in hell. That's how religious you can be. Are you saved? "Well, I tell you what, I go to church." It's not what I asked. "Are you saved?" "I can tell you when I got baptized." It's not what I asked. "Are you saved?" "Well, it says on Morris Hill Church Roll that I joined a church on so-and-so date. I remember what seat I was in whenever I got up and walked down the aisle." Not what I asked. "Are you saved?" "Well, I tell you what, the pastor at so-and-so church, I talked to them about being lost, and they prayed a prayer and said, 'Just repeat this prayer I'm praying.' And whenever I got through, he said, he looked at me and said, 'You got saved,' and he's a man of God, so it's bound to be that I'm saved. He told me I was." He had no right whatsoever. You're not going to find that in Scripture where a man has the right to tell somebody they got saved. That's not biblical. And it is called more harm throughout this world. And a lot of times you will have a wolf in sheep's clothing and all they want to do is write your name down and say, "Yep, check, I got another one. I warned them to the Lord. Check." And I say, "All you are is a check mark." It's sad. I'm going to tell you what Morris Hill's not. Morris Hill's not about numbers. We're not about numbers. We're not just trying to get your name on the church roll. I want to see you saved. That's what God wants. He wants you to be saved. See, lost sinner, look at the... If you will, just for a minute, look at the thief on the cross. I know you've heard the story, but you've got a man that's beside Jesus, and he's being crucified as well. And he's going through his life. And the Bible said he saw he was condemned. So he realizes he's condemned and he's dying as a condemned man. What can you do when you're condemned before Almighty God? What can you do? He could not be religious. He could not get baptized. He could not speak in tongues. He could not, you know, go pay some penance somewhere. He couldn't do anything. He was hanging on the cross, and there he is condemned on the road to hell, and he looks to Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, remember me when I come to thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou wilt be in paradise.
Amen.
He got saved right then and there. What did he do? He turned in his heart to Jesus and he trusted him for mercy. You said, Brother Brad, it's not mercy that saves us, it's grace. What's the difference? I'm going to tell you the difference. Mercy is not receiving what you deserve, which is hell. Grace is receiving what you do not deserve, which is pardon, which is heaven, which is Jesus. You're saved by grace through faith, but while you're receiving that, you also are receiving mercy. Because every single one of us deserves to go to hell. Every one of us. And so when God gives us what we don't deserve, grace, His unmerited favor, you can't earn it. We trust that by faith because of who He is. Not because of who we are. Oh, I'm such a good person. God ought to save me. Pride goeth for destruction. The haughty spirit for a fall. You got to humble yourself. You cannot save yourself. You cannot earn salvation. You will never be good enough to get saved. Even after you're saved, you're not good enough to keep it. That's why it is on Him, not only to save you, but to keep it. To keep you saved. We're kept by the power of God. No man can pluck me out of my Father's hand. That's what's keeping me saved today. Not because I'm such a good person. I'll tell you what, if you could just roll back every thought I've had, every moment in life I've had, if that was put on the screen before you, you'd say, I can't go listen to that man preach. He's made so many mistakes. He's thought things he shouldn't be thinking. You know, even standing here preaching to you this morning, Brother Brad, you think you're good enough to stand there and preach before me? What makes you think that? Here's what it is. It's by the grace of God I get to stand in this pulpit. Because it's through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. God uses the willing and the submissive. And I, with all my heart, I try to submit to Him so that I can bring you His message. Am I perfect? No. God don't have to have me being perfect. He is. That's why it all belongs to Him. That's why He gets all the glory. If you trust Jesus this morning, you bring Him glory. Last verse.